of green, red roses too.
Hello, this is Ed Cohen, your broadcast host today on GlobalRadioTalkShow.com, a broadcast service from Global HR News. Coming to you today from San Diego, our special guest today is in Austin, Texas. Sandy Ash is a TEDx speaker, best-selling author, global consultant, and Woman of Influence Award winner. Her book, Roar, was named by Inc. magazine as one of the best business books written by a woman. Over the past 20 years, through keynote presentations and workshops, 40,000-plus leaders in 50 countries and 6 languages, Sandy's ideas embrace change, manage work-life balance, and be more resilient. To roar with purpose and passion, let's say hello and welcome Sandy Ash.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for the invitation to be here.
Oh, I'm really honored to have you. All right, let's get right into this. We are in nutty times here, scary for sure. So the topic today is staying resilient in challenging times. What are you hearing from clients, the biggest challenges today?
Yeah, well, I think we all feel like we're almost at war. You know, there are no weapons, but these are definitely crazy, unprecedented times. Nobody ever could have planned well enough for this. And what I'm hearing from clients are 3 things, particularly. One is the challenge that people are having, maintaining calm focus, being practical, grounded, keeping their central nervous systems calm in a time when we're pretty much overloaded with fear, panic, anxiety, stress. And I think we're all trying to stay out of that vortex. You know, we just get sucked into the fear and the uncertainty. The second thing I'm hearing from clients is that employees and teams, even business owners, I have a sense of helplessness, hopelessness, and really not sure what they can be doing. And almost, you know, sometimes we get into a situation, we sort of just throw our hands up in the air and we say, we feel like we're out of control, that we're at effect of our circumstances. And that's when we sort of give away our power and we become much less effective at a time when we ought to be feeling strong, powerful, and be highly effective. And then the third thing I'm hearing from people is, how do you create your own sense of certainty in very uncertain times? So, you know, in chaotic times like earthquakes or wildfires, if you're out in California, where I'm in Texas, we deal with flooding. We have plans and we know how to deal with that. We all have our emergency packs and most companies will have a resilience plan to deal with natural disaster. But this has really caught us by surprise. And so for many of us, there's a sense of really not knowing what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and when it's going to end. And so in that uncertainty, there's greater opportunity for us to generate more stress, anxiety, fear, and panic, which is so counterproductive. Because all of that does is sort of stimulates the secretion of cortisol, the hormone cortisol in our bodies. And research has shown over and over that cortisol lowers our immune system, which is definitely not what we want to have happen now.
So I want to ask you now about skills that people, I mean, there's so many people, so many personalities, so many different situations. What is the most important skills that people need to think about, to strengthen?
Number one, we've never really been given the skills and the tools that we need to be able to respond effectively to this kind of situation and to stay whole, W-H-O-L-E. We just haven't. And even in big companies that invest lots of money in leadership and management development, we really have not, I think, mastered what it takes for us to develop the muscle or the strength to stand firm in this kind of situation. And I think key is the ability to maintain calm focus, to be practical and grounded, and not get caught up in that panic and fear and tip over, and to be able to respond and not react. And to do that, we have to be calming our central nervous system. You know, in normal times, our central nervous system gets overloaded by stress, demand, pressure, noise, traffic, pollution. But right now, I think our central nervous systems are really overloaded. And so this is the time for people to double up in investment in keeping your central nervous system calm and enhancing your ability when your button is pushed and your sort of your fuse is short, to be able to respond with grace, with kindness, with compassion, rather than be reactive. And I think a lot of what we're seeing now is people being reactive.
How do you talk to people like me, alpha males, okay?
Yes.
C-suite, for those who are male in the C-suite. Okay, how do you talk to guys?
Yeah, it's just like this. It's really simple. If you're stressed out and your central nervous system is on overload, which it is for most of us, you're going to put your health at risk. You're going to put your relationships at risk, and it's likely going to cost you business. Because when we're reactive, we say things, we make decisions, and we do things that do not build trust, loyalty, harmony, and engagement from customers and employees. And so we've been hearing about mindfulness and meditation and stress management now for years, and research on it is abundant and persuasive and convincing. And many companies, I think this was started by Google, make it mandatory for every employee to learn mindfulness training. So it doesn't have to be mindfulness, but we have to take time to prime, P-R-I-M-E. And what I mean by that is first thing in the morning, in the afternoon, at night before you go to bed, we have to take a couple of minutes to release the stress, to calm our mind, to bring ourselves back to center. And so for some people, it's prayer, it's meditation, it's taking a run, it's yoga, whatever it is. This is the time for us to double up on our investment in priming and do anything and everything we need to do. Now, honestly, some people are reaching for alcohol and candy and cookies and cakes, you know, because we're all sort of grasping for something that will soothe and calm our central nervous system. And quick fix, instant gratification is to have some alcohol, or for people who still smoke, take a cigarette or reach for a Snickers bar or a donut. And in the short term, that does serve to calm our central nervous system. But in the long term, of course, that's not very helpful. So the thing is to develop a daily habit or practice to calm your central nervous system down and to bring yourself back down into the ground, into your feet, and get out of that racy, noisy mind. And I think for most of us now, maybe you'd agree, the noise inside of our heads is like a sort of busy marketplace in Mexico City. I mean, it's just rampant, all of these thoughts that are swirling around, and it's mostly the thoughts that are creating the stress. What do you think, Ed?
Yeah. So with people at home, they're eating or drinking more, or maybe altogether. For those who bake, they eat it.
So <there's>... Exactly.
So, yep. Okay. So calming focus, really, you know, that old serenity prayer. Yeah. That's something I've been using.
Yeah. It's time for us to use whatever tool we use to develop that inner calm and inner strength. And, you know, the day the virus ends, we're all going to be excited. And there'll be an opportunity for us just to go back to the way things were, who we were, and back to our old habits. But right now, I mean, we're in this at least for several more weeks, however much longer. We're being invited to develop that internal strength, that emotional resilience. And so even when the virus is gone and it is going to go away, and we start to face the next storm, and whatever storm comes after that, we can't predict anymore, right? We've just learned that lesson. That muscle called emotional resilience is really critical. And those habits that we're adopting now to keep ourselves sane and stop from tipping over are habits that we can carry forward with us that'll just really improve the quality of our life, make us more productive, more effective, build a more sustainable world.
Okay, so right now a lot of people are feeling like victims, including me sometimes, but not all day. How do you stay mentally strong? There's something called an escalator story. What do you mean by that?
Oh, there's been this video clip. It was an ad, I think, for a heart monitor that's been going around on the internet for years. And it's a video clip of two people stepping up on an escalator and going up to the first floor. And halfway up, the escalator gets stuck and stops. And the video clip shows really poignantly how these people just get stuck on the escalator and they start to look around them for somebody to come and fix the situation and rescue them. There's a sense of helplessness, hopelessness. We don't know what to do. Somebody needs to come and fix the escalator. And then eventually the repairman shows up and he says, oh, don't worry, I'll fix the escalator. And he gets on the escalator, and the escalator gets stuck. So now all three of them are sitting on the escalator looking and waiting for somebody to take control and solve the problem. So sometimes it's like we feel we're stuck on the escalator. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, all you need to do is just put one foot in front of the other and rise above your circumstances, be proactive, take ownership. But sometimes when we're stuck on the escalator, we really don't even realize we are there. Other people can see where we're stuck and feeling like we're victims. And so the key here is for us not to make excuses and not to allow ourselves to feel like we're at effect of our circumstances. It's easy in this situation to say, oh, there's nothing I can do and I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm just sort of waiting with bated breath for this all to resolve itself. No, this is the time for us to be really proactive. Proactive about doubling up, tripling up on our investment in our physical health. You know, all the things we know that we ought to do and we've aspired to doing in order to be healthy and have well-being. Now is the time to be doing that. So this is the time not to be looking at pointing fingers and blaming somebody should have taken care of the sooner. We should have had more tests. You know, the leaders in my company should have made this decision and had a better plan for remote working. There's a lot of that. And there's no juice in that. There's no energy. Where we need to be is in the question, how can I rise above my circumstances? What can I be doing proactively now to build more physical immunity, and by the way, better mental immunity, because I think maybe the mental virus is going to be as and maybe even more damaging than the physical virus. And to be looking for every opportunity to use our gifts and talents and our generosity to reach out and help others. And to be expecting to give more than we receive. It's easy in challenging times and chaos and crisis like we are now, to sort of be expecting somebody to be taking care of us. And nobody's going to take care of us. We need to be giving more than we're receiving and be proactive and just stop with the excuses.
So it's an opportunity time, chaos versus crisis or opportunity. Well, how to be more human with people at work or customers? You know, customers are worried that they don't know where the next sale is coming from, where the next revenue is, and meanwhile, costs go on. And so it's frightening. Mental strength, building loyalty and trust with others just by being people, right? Speaking up, not being afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I think we in the darkest times, we have the greatest opportunity to build loyalty and trust with our customers. On Sunday, my husband Eric and I were roaming around the city. It felt like we were in a twilight zone trying to find something to eat. And we placed an online order at PF Chang's and we pulled up to the curbside and this guy ran out and delivered our food. I love the agility of the new business delivery model. It's something we all need to learn from the food industry. And in the bag of food, there was a beautiful postcard. It was just a simple 6x4 postcard that said something like, you know, we understand these are really difficult times and, you know, we're really hoping for you and your family to stay healthy. And we're incredibly grateful that you chose to order food from us today. And here's a free soup. Okay. So, you know, it may have cost them a dollar. I don't know. But what was so interesting for me is now is the way we're treating our customers now. And I mean, internal customers as well as external customers, is going to determine the future of that relationship. And companies that are being generous and kind and forgiving and compassionate are going to, I think, bounce back and recover their business much quicker. And the same with us, all in our relationships. If we're being tough on people and unforgiving and uncompassionate, and we're not giving enough and extending as much generosity and generosity of spirit as we can, when things go back to the new normal, we're never going to go back to the old normal, we're going to go back to a new normal, then people will have time to ponder, oh, do I really want to give my business to that company? Do I really want to work for this business, this company, or this leader? Do I really, you know, how valuable is this relationship to me? People are going to be making choices based on how we treat them in these tough times. And what a fantastic opportunity for all of us just to step up and be generous and giving and kind and compassionate and merciful. That I think it's going to be interesting to see which companies come out of this looking good and how quickly they rebound, and which go out of business and sort of look back and see how they treated their employees and their external customers during this time.
So we're looking at a new world order, and what a wonderful world that would be.
Yes, we have a chance to create a whole different kind of world. And I hope we do. I hope the day the virus disappears, we don't all go back to that rushing, frenzied, stressed, impatient, demanding, ungiving way of being that sometimes we have, and keep all the great lessons that we've learned in this time and take them forward with us.
So you and Tim Mulligan wrote the book Roar a few years ago about organizational development in spite of harshness and tough times. And so now you have a plan I see here, Stay Resilient Daily Plan. Be healthy, yes, balanced, and positive. Thrive in uncertain times. So I see there's six elements. You want to run through these with me quickly here? The first one is wake up.
Oh my gosh. So listen, I mean, I wrote the book on resilience. Roar is about resilience. And I've been talking about it all over the world to tens of thousands of people the last 5 years, and finally came of age. I mean, now we're really grappling with what it means to be resilient, and our resilience is being tested. And the last couple of weeks were really tough for me. My mother passed away, and we weren't able to be there, and nobody was with her when she was dying because the hospital was on lockdown and my husband was quarantined. And I had to quickly pivot my business, as many of us had, and just ask the question, is what I'm doing really relevant? And so the Stay Resilient Daily Plan was just my personal plan of how to keep myself healthy, balanced, and positive. And I realized all these things I've been talking about and all the tools and resources I've been sharing with people about how to be resilient, this was the time for me to up my game and put them into practice in a way I never have before. And so the Stay Resilient Daily Plan is just my list of things that I'm doing every day to build my physical health and resilience, my mental health and resilience, and my emotional health and resilience. And I just shared it with people to say, hey, look, you know, resilience and your ability to respond effectively and emerge from this stronger, wiser, and more successful is not going to just come to you in your sleep by osmosis. We need to be showing up and building the muscles and putting strategies in place. So I shared that, but also put together a wonderful webinar series for people to share with them the key ideas and tools that I've used and I've been speaking about for years, to navigate through this time, this storm, and to stay really strong and firm and healthy and balanced and positive. And so I'm inviting people to come and join me for that webinar series.
This is great. So I see in the morning, step one is wake up. Step two during the morning, work right, standing up. And I have to tell you that I'm conducting this interview with you, I'm standing up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the screen at eye level because I raised it. And then I've already had too much water. And then I see at lunch, you're talking about having tons of fresh, raw fruit and veggies rather than a hamburger and fries.
I mean, it's just back to basics, Ed. I mean, we all know, we've been told by the FDA and all the health professionals, we need to be eating 9 to 13 servings of fresh raw fruits and vegetables every day because we need those nutrients. And now especially, we need a strong immune system. And strong immune systems comes from great nutrition. So yeah, there is a tendency now to reach for a hamburger or something fast on the run or skip lunch. And I'm just really working on nourishing my body and keeping it strong and sitting down while I eat, not being stressed and standing while I eat, and making sure I'm drinking half my body weight in water and tons of vitamin C. I have to be on it. And I have to be on it because, one, I want to be healthy, right? But two, because I want to be a resource for people, be that beacon of light and that lighthouse, and be able to support and uplift other people. And if our health and well-being is in the toilet, then we're not effective.
Okay, so it says here in the afternoon to do all this stuff, but it doesn't say have a nap.
Well, you know, that's optional. Instead of my nap time, I use that time for a guided meditation. And I make that 20 minutes non-negotiable, hard scheduled time on my calendar. And I make myself sit down, put my headset on, and do one of my favorite meditations, or go for a walk, get outside, get some fresh air. Because, you know, we also need to keep our body moving and the circulation going. And if we're just sitting at our desk, and I think for many of us in times like this, we're working more often or at our computers more. And so energy becomes stagnant and the circulation isn't good. So I'm all about keeping the blood and the oxygen moving.
And I see nothing here about red wine or white wine.
Well, I think a lot of people are adding that to their daily plan. This is just my plan. I'm not a big wine drinker. Although there have been many times over the last few weeks I said to my husband, I think we should resort to alcohol to take the edge off. But no, we're not big drinkers. So for me, the way in which I keep myself calm and focused and practical and grounded is to just really make sure that I'm taking care of my health and my well-being and priming. I'm priming 3 times a day, as you can see on my plan, exercising every day, twice a day. I'm getting really good sleep. And I'm doing everything I know to do to just keep myself feeling strong and to be able to emerge from this well.
So do you have a special kind of music you listen to?
Recently got turned on to Spotify. And the great thing about Spotify is it creates your daily mix for you based on your preferences. So I typically listen to kind of soothing, you know, new agey kind of stuff that keeps me calm. I just have to keep looking for what can keep me calm. And then when I feel my energy go low, I put on my upbeat playlist and sort of dance at my desk while I'm standing up and working. So I'm just pulling every trick out of my hat. And I think we all have our tricks and our things that we know strengthen us. And I'll say this, and maybe we can wrap up with a thought. I think the most important thing that I would leave people with to ponder is the importance of quarantining your thoughts. And I did post this on social media yesterday. You know, we're talking a lot about quarantining ourselves physically and protecting ourselves from catching anything that we don't want to catch. But what about our thoughts? The thoughts that we have can be just as contagious and negative and cause us harm. And so when we quarantine our thoughts, we really sort of inject this rigor and discipline about the thoughts we allow inside of our heads, and think only about what's necessary and important. So almost like cocooning or shielding ourselves from the negativity and the fear and the gossip and every, you know, how many times a day do you need to hear how many people have the virus, and how many times a day do you need to hear who died, and how many times a day do you need to hear there aren't enough tests? So we want to be responsible and make sure we're informed. But there is also a time where we just need to shut all that stuff off and stay laser focused on what's really important and what we need to do to be proactive and filter the rest out. So if that were sort of my parting thought for people, it would be quarantine your thoughts.
Talking with Sandy Ash, the author of Roar, R-O-A-R, and obviously the doer of the Stay Resilient Daily Plan. So, Sandy Ash, How can people get in touch with you right away?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn a lot, so people just need to look for me, Sandy Ash, A-S-C-H, and my website is my first and last name, sandyash.com, and there are a ton of incredible resources and tools. And let me just say this for anybody who feels like they need additional inspiration and tips and tools, of course, we'll share the webinar information that you and Ed and I are collaborating on for this mobility community, but also have a free audio message campaign, 2 or 3 messages, 2-3 minutes each a week that give people, you know, really great ideas, encouragement and inspiration for anyone who'd like that extra strengthening, that extra boost. They can text Be Resilient, one word, BE Resilient, to the number 31996. There's no charge, there's no cash, and they'll get a couple of messages every week to help them stay resilient in these challenging times. And together, we will emerge from this stronger, wiser, and better.
So LinkedIn, Sandy Ash, S-A-N-D-Y-A-S-C-H. Sandy Ash is a TEDx speaker, a best-selling author, and developing resilient leaders in creating best and great places to work. So thank you for being our guest on Global Radio. Thanks, Sandy. Take care.
Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye.
Goodbye now.
I think to myself, what a wonderful